our Dandavat Pranams to our Vaishnav listeners, and our obeisances to our beloved Srila Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj, all of our Guru Varga, all of the Vaishnavs and followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Today is the Divine Appearance Day of Srila Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, and we are wholly unqualified to say anything about him, but at the same time, we have somehow by our fortune come to the feet of our Guru Varga, and we know that for our Guru Varga, he holds the supreme position amongst the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Our Guru Varga, they have real appreciation for these divine persons. They have real relationships with these divine persons, and we have come in contact with them, and so we feel some duty to try to glorify these divine persons, and in doing so we will be purified and some appreciation may also come to us. We're recalling how Srila Bhaktiraksak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj, our Param Gurudev, he expressed on one occasion when one institution was causing some trouble for him in different ways, making propaganda against him. He expressed, "What can they do to me?" He said, I am aspiring for a position at the feet of Sarup Damodar, Rai Ramananda, and Gadadhar Pandit. He is also in that group. Now, I'm aspiring for a position there, their lotus feet. Now, what can anyone in this world do to me? Now, what do I care for any trouble that may come to me in this world? I don't aspire for anything of this world. I aspire for the position of a speck of dust in that higher plane at the feet of these divine persons. And so Srila Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, he is one of those divine associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu whom our Guru Varga hold in such high regard. You know, who is he but the avatar of Srimati Radharani in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as described in the writings of our Guru Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Kaviraj Goswami, also in our beautiful Saraswat Arti song composed by our Param Gurudev. You know, it is described there. Radha rasa choyo swada raha shapo ja payash niraki prafula deke muke mandahas. That Sri Krishna observing this special rasa that she is tasting, which he cannot taste. That she is, Sri Radhaya pranaya mahima kijusho vana eva swadvo me, is it swadvo yanadbhuta madurima. Kijisho vamadiya sokyam chashamad anubhavata kijisham veti loba tadbhavadya samajani sachi garba sindo helindu, or told the beginning of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that observing this, that she is tasting something that he cannot taste, some sweetness in him which he cannot experience. She is experiencing 10 million times more happiness, more joy than he is experiencing. So observing this, he decides to take that mood for himself, to experience that for himself. And so, Radha Bhav Duti Savolitam Nomi Krishna Sarupam, taking the heart and halo of Srimati Radharani, adorned with that, he appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then, who is Srila Gadadhar Pandit? In our Param Gurudev's words, after Krishna has plundered the wealth of the heart of Srimati Radharani, then what is remaining after that? What is left over after that? That is Srila Gadadhar Pandit. So Srila Sridhar Maharaj, in one article he wrote, he expressed that Srila Gadadhar Pandit Goswami performed the supreme sacrifice. He sacrificed the greatest thing one could ever sacrifice. He sacrificed his prem. And this article is very wonderful. It's published. And this Srila Sridhar Maharaj makes this very nice point that we have to judge the value of a sacrifice based on two things. One, what it is that is being sacrificed. This is one point. And then number two, who is the recipient of that sacrifice? That is the second point. So what is the value of that sacrifice? In our relative position, we may be impressed if somebody can make some physical sacrifice, if they can sacrifice the things of this world, whether paraphernalia, resources of this world, or their own body even. You know, Param Guru Maharaj mentions the example of Jesus Christ and Socrates, and there's also different famous persons in the Vedic culture who sacrificed their body in some way for some purpose. You know, from our relative position, because we're living within bodily consciousness, we're in a conditioned state, we consider that to be valuable. But for the liberated soul, or at least for one who has appreciation for ourselves as being spirit souls, as being spiritual entities, from that perspective, that is an inconsequential sacrifice. You know, we are a spirit soul, and you've sacrificed something in the physical world which has nothing to do with your essential self. So what value does that have? There's no value. It's meaningless. To give up your body or associated paraphernalia is meaningless once you have appreciation for the soul as being our eternal self, the spiritual aspect of ourself as being the substantial aspect. When you appreciate that, any form of physical sacrifice, it becomes meaningless. So this is one point. Then what is the nature of the sacrifice? What is it that you are sacrificing? And then, of course, for persons like ourselves, what is relevant for us to sacrifice actually is ego. So our Param Gurudev's expression, die to live. That is the type of sacrifice that we're trying to engage ourselves in, sacrificing our false ego. And that has some relevance at our current stage, but again, from the absolute platform, it doesn't have any meaning. For one who's, you know, what to speak of the positive side, for one who's realized themselves as soul, you know, like the Brahma Buddha platform, there's no, you know, what is the value? Oh, I gave up the conception that I'm an enjoyer. You know, I gave up I gave up my identification with various paraphernalia of this world, that I have this, that I'm rich, that I have this, I have that. You know, it's like meaningless. You know, it's like baby steps, you know. So again, although that's of course crucial at our current stage, from the absolute perspective, you know, It doesn't actually have any meaning. You know, and our relative position has meaning. But from the absolute plane, it doesn't have any. From the absolute consideration, it doesn't actually have that. You're becoming free from the negative side. It doesn't actually have that much meaning. So what is it that Srila Gadadhar Pandit sacrificed? You know, his wealth in the positive plane of dedication, his prem, he sacrificed that. This is the greatest wealth of the soul, Krishna prem. This is the greatest treasure that one may attain. So it is that which Srila Gadadhar Pandit Goswami sacrificed. And Param Guru Maharaj, he has one beautiful expression also in that article where he says that the worshipper sacrificed the very fountain of their offerings. And I thought that analogy was so perfect. Because, you know, like from a fountain, there's always water coming from that fountain. So in the same way, from the fountain is being compared to the heart of Srila Gadadhar Pandit. So his heart is like this fountain. And from his heart, so many offerings are coming, heart expressions are coming, loving service is coming. But he's actually sacrificing that, like the very source of his ability to make offerings, his heart, that very essential thing, he has sacrificed, you know, that has been taken by Sri Krishna in his form as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so for that reason, Srila Gadadhar Pandit, he's been described by our Gurudev, our Paran Gurudev, as being like in the position of a beggar, like if someone, their most valuable thing has been stolen, has been taken, some jewel, some great treasure has been taken by someone, they will run after that person, like, you know, they want to get it back. And so Srila Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, his position is like this in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has lost the most valuable part of himself, his heart. And so he is always like a shadow. It is mentioned like a shadow beside Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so you see that in the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, Gadadhar Pandit always stays very close to Mahaprabhu and his Nadia Leela. He is there, you know, they are students together. And then later, when Mahaprabhu takes sannyas and goes to Puri, Gadadhar Pandit, he also goes to Puri and stays there. He actually takes Ketra sannyas. He takes a vow that he will never leave Puri. No, he will stay there for the whole entire duration of his life. And their you know, their leela is very beautiful, charming, and in the beginning, in the earlier years in Navadvip, we hear descriptions of how Mahaprabhu was initially posing as being in opposition to the Vaishnav section, and sometimes teasing them and giving them hard time. And he's Nimai Pandit, you know, he's a great scholar, and so they can't argue with him. He's the Supreme Lord appearing as a pundit scholar, and who can defeat him? And it's told sometimes he would defeat them in argument, and then he would reestablish their conclusion and defeat his own original argument. He was so expert. But Gadadhar Pandit, his nature was very, very humble, very gentle, reserved, quiet. Gurudev, Srila Gurudev mentioned that the devotees, they would take advantage of Gadadhar Pandit because of his very gentle and humble nature, and I believe he said that in general they would take advantage of others, and also Gadadhar Pandit. But Gadadhar Pandit, he would never take advantage of others. And in this talk of Srila Gurudev, somebody asked Gurudev, "What do you mean by that?" And he said, "I mean that somebody may say, 'Oh, I'm a disciple of Govinda Maharaj. No, you give me this, you give me that, you do this for me, you do that for me.'" And so in the same way, persons, say, devotees of Mahaprabhu, they may have had some mood like that sometimes, and they would take advantage of Gadadhar Pandit. He would never take advantage of others. Always very, very humble, very quiet nature. And so we hear he didn't like this mood of Mahaprabhu as a debater, as a logician. And he would try to avoid his company. You know, it's mentioned how sometimes if the Vaishnav saw Mahaprabhu walking down the road, this Nimai Pandit, they would cross over to the other side. They didn't want to deal with him. But then when Mahaprabhu goes to Gaya and receives initiation from Ishwarapuri, then he shows himself as being absorbed in Krishna Prem. His true colors come out, we can say. And then when he returns to Navadvip, he's transformed. And all the Vaishnavs there, so gladdened, you know, joyful to see this transformation. They feel some new strength in their ranks because, you know, you know, if this great Nimai Pandit joins them, they will become so much more powerful. So they are very happy, and Mahaprabhu, he organizes a meeting soon after he arrives, wanting to vent because he's feeling this mood of separation from Krishna, this pain of the pain of separation, and he wants to vent his heart. And so he calls for a meeting of all the Vaishnavas, and it's mentioned that when they had this gathering, Mahaprabhu was like crying and expressing his heart, and all the Vaishnavas were there. But Gadadhar Pandit, he was not there. He was in a hidden room nearby, listening, not staying in the room, but nearby listening. And then at one point, the devotees heard some crying, you know, in a nearby room. And I don't remember if, maybe it was Mahaprabhu himself who asked. Yes, I think it was Mahaprabhu himself who asked, who is that? And then somebody responded, "You're Gadadhar," they said. "You're Gadadhar." And of course, you know, who but Srila Gadadhar Pandit had, who had more affinity than him? Nobody had more affinity for the condition that Mahaprabhu was in. This, when Mahaprabhu was experiencing the depths of divine separation, it was Gadadhar Pandit who could feel his heart and offer consolation better than anybody else. And this has been very wonderfully, extraordinarily expressed by our Param Gurudev Srila Sridhar Maharaj in one of the introductory verses that he wrote for this. It was never completed, but it was meant to be a compilation of the essential verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he received instruction from Srup Damodar Goswami. He appeared to him. Srup Damodar himself appeared to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and requested him to take the essence, you know, 18,000 verses in Srimad Bhagavatam, and to select 1,000 of those rays. The Bhagavatam is compared to a sun, 18,000 rays. And so Srila Srup Damodar Goswami requested Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur to select 1,000 of those rays, the most essential, like condensing the essence. And so that came as the Bhagavad Arka Marichi Mala. Arka is referring to light, rays. So he condensed it was 18,000 to 1,000. And then Sridhar Maharaj, he received inspiration to condense it further to 300 verses of Bhagavatam, you know, distilling the essence of Bhagavatam. And unfortunately, that work was not completed. Srila Sridhar Maharaj said only our Gurudev, Srila Govinda Maharaj, could complete that work. But our Gurudev, he was so busy taking care of his children in his worldwide mission with all of our kindergarten problems. And he wasn't able to complete that work. However, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, he did begin that work, and he wrote a few introductory verses. And one of those verses, it is a pranam mantra to Srila Gadadhar Pandit. And it is very extraordinary and describing this inconceivable heart service that Gadadhar Pandit performed for Mahaprabhu when he was in his most intense necessity. Nilambuditate sarasva viraha ke pambitam bandavan Srimad Bhagavati Gatamadiraya Sanjivayam Bhatiya Srimad Bhagavatam Surasanayana Shupayanai Pujayam Goswami Pavado Gadadhari Borbuya Mad Eka Gati. It's such a beautiful verse. On the Nilambodhi is referring to Puridham, on the shore of the blue ocean in Puri. there, Mahaprabhu, he used to visit Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit, he worshipped this deity of Gopinath. And in fact, that deity, there are different ideas that had been proposed as to how Mahaprabhu left the world. Like it's mentioned, he merged into the sea, different ideas. And one idea is that he merged into this Gopinath deity of Srila Gadadhar Pandit. And we've heard that Srila Saraswati, Gurudev has mentioned, Srila Saraswati Thakur, he accepted that, you know, that suggestion that Mahaprabhu had merged with that deity. Srila Sridhar Maharshi also said that actually all of these different conceptions, they are possible because the Lord, he can show himself in as many ways as he likes. He's not limited to you know, one particular, you know, manifestation. But anyhow, Srila Gadadhar Pandit, he stayed in that Tota Gopinath temple, which is very close to our mat. It is walking distance from our temple. Srila Gurudev, actually, he always, we've seen with Srila Gurudev, when he came to make a temple in the Dham, he was very cautious about where. He never liked to make a temple in the most sacred area, you know, in a humble mood, thinking better to stay more on the outskirts. But in Puri, also in the case of Vrindavan, he tried to do that, but he was unable to, and rather, you know, forcefully, you know, in a descending way, something contrary to his original idea manifest, which was something in a more central place, in the more sacred area of the Dham. And so in the case of Puridham, Gurudev also was originally trying to acquire something more at a distance from the most important area, central and sacred area. But he was unsuccessful. And then Gurudev described how he, I don't remember how long, maybe it was a year or 2 years, a while, a long time. He was trying and trying, always something went wrong. And then he said, he prayed to Lord Jagannath one day, whatever you give me, I will take it. And then within like 2 weeks, this property came in a very like straightforward way. And this area, Gurudev said, Gora Bhat Sahi, referring to the area that Mahaprabhu would frequent the most. So it is like very, maybe 10 minutes walk from our temple, and it's very close. And Mahaprabhu, every day, or almost every day, he would leave his residence, Kashi Mishra Bhavan, the Gambira, and from there he would go to bathe every day in the ocean, and he would also stop to see, you know, Haridas Thakur and Rup or Sanatan if they were there, and also Srila Gadadhar Pandit at his Tota Gopinath temple. And also Gurudev mentioned sometimes Gadadhar Pandit would go to the Gambira and meet Mahaprabhu there. But this was the most regular, that Mahaprabhu would stop and see Gadadhar Pandit at his residence. And in their meetings, Gadadhar Pandit would read Bhagavatam to Mahaprabhu. And this is especially in those last 12 years of Mahaprabhu, when he was experiencing the most intense degree of separation. So this verse, Sva Viraha, this is an extraordinary expression. Sva Viraha means his own separation. So, you know, Mahaprabhu, Krishna, in the mood of Radharani, he is experiencing separation from himself. He is Krishna experiencing separation from Krishna, from his dearmost, from his beloved, because he's in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So he's in this intense state of suffering, pain, lamentation, suffering. And so he's in this state, and Gadadhar Pandit, he is his dearmost friend. He is Srimati Radharani. I mean, this is all inconceivable. Actually, Srila Goswami Maharaj described how he once asked Srila Gurudev and Srila Sridhar Maharaj, can you tell me one of those verses that will make you faint? Because there was that famous incident when Achyutananda Prabhu asked Srila Swami Maharaj, what were you and Sridhar Maharaj discussing for 3 hours? Well, you know, what were you talking about? And Srila Swami Maharaj said, if I were to tell you, you would faint. You know, you cannot comprehend. And so Goswami Maharaj later, he asked Srila Sridhar Maharaj, what is one of those things that will make you faint? And Gurudev, he chuckled when he heard that. Srila Sridhar Maharaj didn't immediately comprehend what he was talking about. And then Srila Gurudev, he explained, and then he's chuckling. And then it was Srila Gurudev, he suggested this verse. you know, just like to give us some perspective, this is beyond our range of comprehension. This is beyond our capacity to appreciate. It is just inconceivable. I mean, you're just like, your mind will explode, you know. And so Srila Sridhar Maharaj, he chanted this verse, you know. And Goswami Maharaj, he described very wonderfully how, you know, this like higher plane of consciousness was momentarily like, you know, like projected onto him. And it was, he said, he described, he like staggered out, you know, leaned against the wall. He felt the intensity of that so greatly. So Svavyaraha, Krishna is experiencing his own separation in the mood of Radharani and his dearmost friend Srimati Radharani in the form of Gadadhar Pandit. He is there seeing this, observing this, and naturally, you know, he wants to do something to console his friend, to help his friend. And so Srimad Bhagavati Katha Madhiraya Sanjivaya Matiya. That, and so he is supplying the words, the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam in the same way that somebody may supply intoxication to a broken-hearted friend. And in this way, Sanjivayan, he is enlivening, he's giving life to his beloved. If someone is broken-hearted, you know, lamenting, then some intoxication, that may be the best way to help them at that time. So in the same way, Gadadhar Pandit, he is supplying the verses of Bhagavatam to console Mahaprabhu. And so he performed the supreme seva. It is mentioned by Srila Gurudev or Param Gurudev. I cannot recall right now. But they describe like that. The supreme seva. And his most intense time, this time of deepest necessity, Gadadhar Pandit is there consoling him. And then the next line is also extraordinarily beautiful. Shrima Bhagavatam Sarasvanayana Ashupayana Pujayan. That Gadadhar Pandit, he is observing this condition of his dearmost, and he is trying to help him, but at the same time, he's having this intense response, you know, seeing his friend, his dearmost, his beloved in this condition. And so he is crying, you know, he is crying in divine emotion. And so here, this line, Nayanashu Payanai Pujayam, that these tears from his eyes, they are falling like flower offerings onto the pages of Bhagavatam. These divine tears of divine emotion from Srila Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, they are falling from his eyes and doing puja to the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Goswami Prabhado Gadadhar Vibhor Bhuyat Mad Ekagati. May that best of Goswami's may, you know, his grace, you know, be my only object in writing this book. And so when we hear these extraordinary things, it makes us look at ourselves and, you know, our tiny little finite existence. It's like it makes you feel like a dog that's chewing on bone, you know, and thinking it tastes good. Like, that's how we're living our lives. You know, we're chewing on bones. We're chewing on garbage and we're thinking it tastes good. When we hear of this, what purity, what are the high reaches in that plane of divine plane of dedication? Then we look at ourselves and we feel so miserable and so small and so insignificant and, you know, what, like, tasteless and meaningless lives we are living. In one place, Parangum Maharshi says, like, we should learn to hate finite, you know, all of our miserable and miserly finite ways of seeing things and experiencing things. We hate that. We reject that. We want to open our hearts, you know, to such a divine prospect that we may somehow be of some remote service in such a high plane. When we hear expressions like this, then we think, oh, you know, these aspirations we hear to become a blade of grass, to be a particle of soil in Vrindavan, you know, that is not a small thing. You know, Uddhava, who is Krishna's closest friend up to Dwarka, you know, he is aspiring for that position. Asamaho charanaveni jushamaham sam rindavani rindavane kimapi gumalatosha dinam swadushchajam swajanam arjapatam chahitva bejorma kunda paravim shuti biri migram. You know, let me take birth as some insignificant creeper, shrub, blade of grass in that divine abode of Vrindavan. You know, why? So that the foot dust of those divine residents, you know, may fall upon my head. That will be the greatest attainment of my life. So when we hear like this type of inconceivable things, it's like we're getting a glimpse, a tiny little peephole into that plane of reality. And then we're looking at ourselves and thinking, yeah, that is the appropriate response, you know, to have a position as a particle of soil in that land. You know, that is infinitely more valuable than to have this topmost position in this misconceived world of exploitation. So these days are very important for us, like a wake-up call. It gives us a chance to think about these divine personalities, where they are living, what is important to them, and then to look at us in our small little lives and to see, oh, you know, I really need to, like, you know, get up to mark a little bit, you know. At least I need to aspire for the right thing. I need to pray for the right thing. Well, I don't want to say too much. I'm not qualified to say so much. And there are many beautiful pastimes about, you know, with Gadadhar Pandit, which have been described by our gurus. They're described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavad. We have several beautiful recordings of our Gurudev speaking about Gadadhar Pandit and published in the books of our Gurudev and Param Gurudev. So I think I will stop here. This is my humble offering on this day to our Guru Varga and to Srila Gadadhar Pandit. And we pray for their grace. We pray that they may be pleased with us so that we can make progress in the world of reality, in the world of substantial reality. Jaya Shila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jaya Shila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jaya Shila Guradhar Pandit Goswami Ki Jaya Tadiya Tira Bhav Titi Mahamahotsav Ki Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jaya Shri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jaya Nitai Gaur Premanande.